Morning. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God."
Thank you. We know that the Lord adds his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your inspired word given to us by your Holy Spirit. And here again, as we look into another one of the stories that you, Jesus, our Savior, told us, we pray, Lord, that we would learn from you, our master teacher, what you want us to know and how you want us to live in our world today, that we may live with kingdom principles in a world that is so hostile to you, in a world that does not fully understand what it means to follow you. So, Lord, may our heart be fully set on you this morning. And, Lord, I pray that through your word, you teach us your truth. And, Lord, that we hear from you this day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Several times when Kim and I were down on vacation down in the Smoky Mountains, we would like to do gem mining. And we did also Knoebels. I don't know if you've done this gem mining where you go and you pay for some money and they give you a bucket and you go of sand. Then you start and put it through the water and you begin to sift through it and see what you can find. And we took our grandson Eli gem mining over at Indian Echo Caverns one time, and he was all excited. We'd pull out these things, and of course, he was all excited because he pulled out this shiny gold rock. And it was all shiny. It was all gold. He said, "Look, I got gold." I said, "I don't think you got gold. You got what's called pyrite, fool's gold. Looks like gold, but not the real thing." And one time, Kim and I were on vacation out in Arkansas visiting Rick and Molly and the family out there. And we went to this place called Crater of Diamonds State Park. And Crater of Diamonds State Park is this place where you can go. It's a state park, and you can go and dig through the mud and the crater that's there. And whatever you can find, you keep. And often people find diamonds, and you can find diamonds there, and you can keep them. They're yours. And it had just rained a couple of days before we were there, and we were digging through the mud up to our legs. I mean, up to our knees. We were stuck in this mud, digging through, trying to see what treasures we could find. Never found anything of value, just a bunch of fool's gold. And that kind of fits with our story this morning. As we've been looking at the parables of Jesus and what we've been learning, lessons from our master teacher, our Lord was a great storyteller and could put truth, a spiritual truth, into ways that we could understand and put our hands around, that we could get a hold of our life and apply so well. And understand his principles. And a lot of what he told us and taught us was about farming and life in a farming community. And we understand that growing up, we're living where we do. And in the time in which Jesus lived, most of the people lived in a farming lifestyle. It was a farmer agricultural society. But as Jesus was telling and teaching one day, as we come to Luke chapter 12, and as he was teaching the people that had gathered there to hear him, he was teaching them about some very important truths. And he was teaching them about not living a life of hypocrisy, knowing that God sees our heart, and what's on the outside that we live, we back up by what we say and how we live our life. He was teaching about the importance of acknowledging him before the Father. He was teaching about the importance of reverencing him before everything else. And he was teaching about the importance of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. pretty heavy, serious topics that he had been teaching them about. And I don't know if you want to be honest and confess this, but how many times on a Sunday morning when I'm giving a sermon does your mind go elsewhere? Maybe you're thinking about what you're going to have for dinner. Maybe you're thinking like Lizzie every Sunday morning when she comes, she sees how many blanks there are to fill in and how long is Dan going to talk today? You know, and she picked it up this morning, she said, oh, there's only four. That doesn't mean it's shorter. But maybe our mind's thinking about all these other things, what's going through our mind, what we're thinking about, what we're going to have for dinner, the plans after we're going to have for church. Or maybe you have anxiety on your heart when you came in here this morning, some burden that you're carrying, and it keeps us from fully engaging and hearing what God has to say in his word. You know, we're not alone on that. And believe it or not, that happened to Jesus. Because Jesus was here teaching on those important truths about hypocrisy, not blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, confessing him before the Father. And someone interrupts him in the crowd and said, hey, teacher, tell my brother to share his inheritance with me. It was obvious that he wasn't paying attention to what Jesus was talking about at all. What was on his mind was getting what was coming to him. After all, his parents had died apparently and had left the inheritance to his older brother, and he was concerned that his brother was going to keep it and not give him what was rightly his, and that was what was on his mind. So Jesus stopped his teaching and told this parable, and that's the setting. And he told this parable for what has been called the parable of the rich fool. And in this story, Jesus said before he gave the parable, he gave a warning to this man. And he said, who appointed me as a judge or arbiter between you? And then he said to him, watch out and be on your guard against all kind of greed. Jesus, knowing our heart, knew exactly what was behind that man's question. He really wasn't concerned about the inheritance. He was concerned out of his greed of making sure that he got what he wanted or what he was after. So then Jesus told the story. And Jesus, Luke recording it here, says that he told them this parable. There was a man who was rich, and he had a great year of the harvest, Jean, Thelma. It was a great year of bounty. It was such a great bountiful year that when the harvest was gathered in the fall, his barn couldn't even keep the harvest. There was so much. It was so plentiful. It was a great harvest, great bounty this year, and it was great. So he thought to himself, man, the harvest was great this year. What am I going to do? I don't have enough room for my barn to store everything. So he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear my barn down and I'll build a bigger barn that I can store all this stuff in my bigger barn. And then I'll just sit back and I'll eat, drink, and be merry and I'll just enjoy life. That's what I'll do. That's how I'll take care of it. That problem was solved. Till Jesus brings the kicker of the story and called him a fool and said, you fool, tonight your soul's going to be required of you. You're going to die. And then what's going to happen to everything that you've accumulated for yourself? What's going to happen to it then? And then Jesus said, that's how it will be for those who are rich towards the things of this world, but are not rich to God himself. Our worth, friends, does not lie in what we own. It lies in Jesus Christ, amen? And seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness. So then Jesus told that story, and then he went on and gave his disciples some teaching from it in verses 22 to following. And he told his disciples some application of this story, which we're going to continue and look at this morning. So as we discover this parable, of the parable of the rich fool, as we get into a little bit more detail this morning, there's four principles we're going to discover from this story that Jesus is teaching us that are very practical that will apply to our life. And the first one is this: guard against greed. To guard against greed, because greed can be very deceptive. The man questioned Jesus and said, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus got right to the point and said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Meaning our worth is not found in what we own. There's more important things to life than that. Our world says, he who has the most toys wins. Our world says, he who has the most, that's where value is. But Jesus said, our life is not there. That's not what's important. Guard against greed, because greed clouds our thinking. In verses 13 to 15, this man's thinking was clouded. He wasn't thinking properly. He definitely wasn't listening to what Jesus was saying. He wasn't listening at all to the teaching of what Jesus was given. His thinking was so clouded by his own personal greed. And it made him think that my dignity, my value is in what I have. And that's what can happen as people think, boy, the more they have, the better they'll feel about themselves. And you know, our culture is built on that. Have you ever noticed how many commercials on TV are built to make you think you need this? You need it, and you won't be happy unless you have it. And you ought to have it now, because this is a special only offered this day, they tell you. But they try to encourage you that it's something you got to have to build upon or greed. It clouds our thinking, but it also changes our perspective. Look at verses 16 to 19, and Jesus told the story. He said that the crop was such a good crop. He said to myself, what shall I do? I have no place to store all my crops. It was a great problem. The harvest was so good, but instead of rejoicing in all the provision that God had brought in for him, his greed clouded his thinking and it changed his perspective. And he says, what will I do? I know what I'll do. I'll tear my barn down. I'll build a bigger one so I can store all my grain and all my goods. Notice what he's saying. My grain, my goods, my barn. It changed his perspective, and he didn't realize that all he had, and the reason why he had that abundance, was because God had given it to him. God had provided it for him. And his thinking was changed as well. His priorities were changed, because as he thought about what to do, greed can change our priorities and we can become a hoarder rather than a giver. Because as he thought about the harvest coming in and he had more than he had room for, not once do we read that Jesus told us that he thought, you know what? I can share the abundance with somebody else. You know, that thought never even crossed his mind. That would have been a good way to handle it, right? He could have shared the abundance with other people, but that thought never came across his mind because of his own greed in his heart. He said, I'm going to keep this for me. It's more for me. And I'm going to hoard it for myself. And when God blesses us in abundance and blesses you in abundance and more than we need, he does that so that you can share that abundance with other people, not hoard it on ourselves. And that's how our priorities get changed, instead of having the priorities of the Word of God. And we forget who the real owner is. We read how many times here he says, my barn, my goods, my grain, this is mine. No, it came to him from God himself. He is the owner. He is the provider. Whatever you have in life is because God has given it to you. Amen? The very breath that we breathe is breathed into us every day from God. And if it wasn't for him, we would have nothing. And sometimes our own personal greed gets in the way and we change and it makes us change our priorities. And this is all mine. It's my possession. It's what I have. No, if it's not for God, we have nothing. And it cannot satisfy. The things of this world, the material things of this world, no matter how much stuff we get, and how much we accumulate. And you know, it's kind of humorous. When you drive by anymore, you see these storage places all over the world, all these storage places everywhere. Do you see how much people pay to store their stuff they don't use? But they pay to store stuff they don't even need because we think we got to hoard it for ourselves. And it doesn't satisfy. Verse 20 says that God came to him and said, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you, and who's going to get all this stuff you prepared for yourself?" At the end of life, all the stuff that we accumulate here doesn't mean a thing if we don't know the Lord. Our relationship with Christ is the most important, and he is the only one that can satisfy. And I've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse, have you? We leave it all behind, and it doesn't satisfy. The only thing that matters is Jesus and our relationship with him. And Jesus said, that's what happens to anyone who stores up for himself things but is not rich towards God. Because only Jesus can satisfy our soul. Only Jesus can truly make it. So we need to guard against greed. And you say, but Dan, I'm not greedy. Well, Satan is so subtle. And he can work within our heart. And anytime we think, again, this is mine, or we don't think of sharing the abundance God's given us, we just want it for ourselves, then we got to guard against that. And Jesus is teaching us that here in this story. So guard against greed. And second principle we discover is don't worry about what you need. See, this man thought, I don't have any more needs. I got all I need. And Jesus then moved on to use this story to teach his disciples. Let's move down to verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore takes us back up to the story. And you've heard me say that before. Anytime the word therefore is there, we have to see what it is there for. And so it's referring us back up to the story that Jesus told. He says, therefore, as a result of this, don't worry about your life, what you should eat or what you should drink, or about your body or what you should wear, because life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Our life is not built upon what we eat or what we drink in life. Our life is our relationship with God, and that's what's important. He said, don't worry about what you need, because consider the ravens. They don't either reap or sow, nor do they have store up any food in their barn. They don't do that, but yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Jesus asks us. And since you cannot do this little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? What's it say? What's Jesus say? Oh, you of what little faith. Don't worry about what you need, because see, when we worry shows a lack of trust. And I confess that it's easy for me to stand up and tell you not to worry. But you know what? We all do, don't we? And Jesus knows that. And he reminds us here. But when we're worrying, we're not trusting. And I ask you this morning, are you more valuable to God than the birds of the field? Are you? Does God provide for the birds of the field? Does he care for their needs? Yes. Will God care for your needs? Will he? He will. But so often we worry that he won't. Our lack of faith sometimes. When we realize that God, the God who spoke the universe into existence, the God who it's nothing is impossible for him, by the power of his word, he spoke and all that is came to be out of nothing, is the same God that can care for you and me. But yet, we worry. And Jesus reminds us here, so don't worry. Trust me that I will provide for you. Worry shows a lack of trust. He says, why do you worry? Why? He said, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life. You know, all the things we worry about, and we worry about what we eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, what was going to happen to us. And Jesus says, all the things we worry about, and we can spend a lot of time worrying and a lot of energy, but Jesus says, when you worry about that, does it add a single hour to your life? Does it really change anything? It doesn't really change anything, but yet it does a lot of turmoil in our heart. And so trusting him, again, it's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? It's easy to say, but it's awful hard to do. But when we're not worrying, we're not trusting. And when we're worrying, we're not trusting. So trusting in him, don't worry about what you need, about what we need, because God will provide what we need. Maybe not what we want, but he will provide what we need, what we wear, what we need to eat. All those things come from him. And worry shows a divided heart. In verse 29, he says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For notice what he says. Let this grab a hold of you and me. Let Jesus speak to our heart again. Don't set your heart on what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Or don't worry about those things. Because listen what he says. For the pagan world runs after such things. What's he telling us? Who are the pagans? The pagans are the unbelievers. Those who aren't saved, those who don't know Jesus. He said, the world does that. The world is consumed with running after what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink. They're consumed by those kind of things. That's what they're pursued of. And he says, that's what they do. That's what the unbelievers do. They're worried about that. But he said, that should not be true for us who trust in God, who know him. He said, that's what the unbelievers do. It divides our heart. So when we worry, it shows our heart is divided. It's not fully set on the Lord. We're not fully seeking him as we should. And then Jesus goes on to say, the pagans run after these things, but he said, and your Lord Father knows that you need them. As a parent, when you were raising your children, and you knew your child needed something, it was a legitimate need, and you knew they needed it, did you deny them what they needed? No. And God, who is our good Father, will not deny us what we need. And our Father is able to provide for us. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I've heard it said many times, you've heard me say it, and all he needs to do is sell off a couple head, and he can meet those needs for us. It's no challenge for him whatsoever. And to trust in him. So don't worry about what you need. Guard against greed. Third thing we see from this story is to seek God first. Notice what Jesus says in verse 31 as he's continuing to apply this story to his disciples and to us. He says, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given you as well. The man in the story was consumed about getting his inheritance. That's what he was seeking. He wanted what he thought was coming to him. And then when Jesus told this story and the abundance came in, he was seeking all that he had. And that's where his heart was, on gaining all this abundance for himself and not thinking of sharing it with anybody else. But Jesus said, that's not what we should be seeking after. But seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, notice what Jesus said, all these things will be given to us as well. What's he talking about all these things? He's talking about all the other things that we don't, that he will provide as well, what we need, even things we want. He will provide those things for us if we seek him first. But seeking him, so it's to seek more of God. Jesus calls us to seek more of God, not more stuff. And how many people consume their life, even Christians, on getting more, seeking more and more and more stuff? And the more stuff we have, does it satisfy? No. But our life as believers should be seeking first him, his kingdom, his righteousness, spending time with him in his word, seeking our heart fixed on him. And then everything else we need will be provided, will fall in line when we get our priorities right of seeking God first, being consumed in our passion for him, not being consumed in the pursuits of the things of this world which do not satisfy and will be burned up in the end. Or in the case of the man in the story, he died and it was all left and he had no one to even share it with. And what good did it do for him? So seeking God first. Are you seeking the Lord first? Is he your first priority? Is he where your heart lies? That's the challenge, the message before us with Jesus. And fourth principle we apply is to invest in eternal reward. The man in this story said, oh, my barn's full. I built this bigger barn and I got all this stuff now. I'm set for life. I can have an early retirement. I can just sit back, eat, and be merry for the rest of my life. It didn't work that way. And everything he had was gone. It was wiped out in a moment. Jesus says we need to invest in our treasure in things that matter. And that's in eternity. Notice what he says beginning in verse 32 as we continue this. He says, but do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For here's the kicker Jesus brings. For where your treasure is, there what? Your heart will be also. Where your treasure is shows you what you value. What your heart is set on shows you what's most important to you. And if your priority is investing in the things of this world, getting as much of this stuff as I can for me and for less life for my joy, he said, it's not going to matter. In the end, that's where your heart is, and it's going to be all lost in the end. Investing for eternity, the only things that will last is what we send ahead and the investments that we make in the kingdom. What we give to the Lord that he blesses and uses many times over. The investment, investing your time, investing your talents, and investing your treasure in the work of the Lord. The time that we give in service to the Lord, the talents that he gives us that we return back to him and don't hoard for ourselves. Remember, Jesus told that story. We didn't get to that parable yet, but we will. When Jesus told the story of the man who was given various talents, and the one buried his and didn't use it, and he lost it. Because God wants us to use those talents and invest in the kingdom, invest in him, in what really matters for eternity. That's all that we can keep. We can build up a big portfolio in this life of our investment income. But should the stock market crash and we lose it all, and we could, what's that going to leave us? Our investments that we have in eternity and the things of the Lord is what really matters. In 1912, there's a maiden voyage in April of the great RMS Titanic. The greatest ship that had ever been built. And people thought, and it was boasted upon, it could never sink. It was an unsinkable ship. And people paid exorbitant amount of money, especially the first class people, to be the first ones on the main voyage across the main voyage of the Titanic. And you all know the story. In the midst of the luxury of that great boat and all it was designed, when it hit that iceberg, it sank to the bottom of the ocean. 1,500 people perished. But at the bottom of the ocean lied all that great treasure of all that luxury liner. It meant absolutely nothing. Because only what is done for Christ, only what we invest in the kingdom is what matters. So Jesus tells us to guard our heart. Make sure that we don't have a heart that is seeking our own, what we can satisfy ourselves, but really to guard against that greed. to realize and not worry, knowing that He will provide for us, seeking Him first, and everything else we need will be taken care of. And if we spend our life seeking Him, that's our primary pursuit, and investing in eternity in what really matters, because that's all that we can take with us. Jesus, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians that when we stand before the Lord someday, all of us are going to stand before Him for what's called, if we're saved, for what's called the Bema judgment, the judgment of God's faithfulness and mercy. And we'll stand before Him, and all that we've done is going to be evaluated. And what we sent ahead is what the rewards that we have to lay at His feet, and we're going to be judged on based on that. And He said, Paul said that some, if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burned up. But if it's gold, precious metals, it will endure. Investing our lives in eternity and what really matters. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. What do you treasure? Where's your treasure lie this morning? It's, Lord, your first and primary pursuit. For Jesus, in the warning, said this is how God will treat those who are rich in this world but are not rich in God. Rather have Jesus, because when we have Jesus, we have everything. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your word, its truth, and again for the stories that Jesus has been teaching us, because they are so practical. And we can understand the principles behind these stories that You want us to know. And this morning, Lord, I asked again that through Your Holy Spirit, You would help us to guard our heart. That Your Holy Spirit, our prayer is that You would search us, O God, and see if within us lies any little elements of greed, of what we can get for ourselves, of materialism, of thinking that there's value and joy and in pursuing the things of this world, and that's what we need to pursue after, because even as Christians we can fall into that. And so Lord, help us to guard our heart against materialism and all those things, Lord, that take us away from You, anything that competes with You, because You told us we cannot serve both God and money. We have to decide, and You need to be the one our heart is fully set on. Lord, also help us in those times when we worry and we doubt, will You provide? And we get to the end of the month and we wonder, will there be enough till the next pay? We rely on You and we trust in You that You will not abandon or forsake Your own. That as You care for the birds, and when we look at the birds every day, that should be a reminder that how much You provide for us, and we're worth far more to You than them. And so, Lord, help us to not worry, but to trust, and forgive us for the times of our small faith that so often we say, like the man in the scripture, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But, Lord, when we're worrying, our heart is divided. It's not fully set on You. So, Lord, help us to trust. And as the word says, not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present our request to You. And You, the God of peace, who passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Lord, help us to seek You first, to seek You more than anything. Our pursuit in life should be chasing after You. Your kingdom, Your righteousness, not chasing after the things of this world that don't satisfy. And Lord, help us to spend our energy and our time and our talents investing in what really matters. Not building up treasures on this world that's going to burn up, but the treasures in heaven that will last and endure forever. For where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be as well. So Lord, help us to hear Your word, and as James says, not just to be hearers only, but doers as well, to apply it to our life, and show us how You want us to respond this week, how You want us to take this principle, this truth of Your word, apply it to our heart, live it out, and be changed this week, as we continue to be men and women after Your own heart, seeking to love and know You better. And so we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.